The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
The weather, now, we're not going to be complaining too much. We've a touch of frost.
We've a touch of frost, so we're not going to be melodramatic about it. No. It's not sort of, lock up your homes and buy tinned food or anything like that. But it's a very frosty morning countrywide, and there is a danger or a warning of a significant dump of snow in Munster later on today.
Mm. Come down from Roundwood to my house yesterday, and his car was covered in snow.
Yeah, well, the Wicklow Mountains is one of the snowiest parts of the country. On average, in the Wicklow Mountains, you can get as many as 30 days per year where there's a dusting of snow. Down on the coast in Dublin, it's only 1 to 2 days. And in the Midlands, maybe about a week. But we know that we tend not to get a large dump of snow. You have to go back, I think, 6 years to Storm Emma for the last time we got a really big drop. But funnily enough, in road safety terms, it's not those big dramatic drops of snow that are actually dangerous. It's more the middle case when, roads
where
are icy
keep
and
going.
Dangerous.
They keep out going on their e-bikes, their bikes, their scooters, their motorbikes, in spite of maybe treacherous conditions underneath.
Yeah, and there isn't the same perception of danger. I mean, with the snow lying on the ground, it's obvious that it's dangerous. When it's just an icy morning and, crisp, clear sunshine, it can look perfectly safe. And this is our first season, our first winter that we're going into it with legal e-bikes and e-scooters. And
legality has never bothered.
Well, I guess that's true, because you will have seen them on the roads in previous years anyway. But I suspect there'll be a growth in numbers. And look, I want to see a growth in numbers of these things. I think they're a very good tool. But even just looking at those small wheeled scooters on what I know myself from my cycling experience can be really treacherous roads, you would worry. Yeah. And I'd encourage anybody using those things to be very, very careful.
There's another element to conditions under wheel, shall we say, and that's the leaves and the rain combined.
Yeah.
Because they're very slow at clearing the leaves in my area anyway.
Well, they're piled up all over the country. I think everybody can make the observation, if you're out and about at all, go for a walk through the parks on the weekend. It is that time of year. And if you get a big dump of rain, which is an altogether more common experience, we're more often talking about storms than snow at this time of the year, Pat. And if we get one of those big, wet, windy winter storms, we then have the phenomenon that catches us by surprise every year, where uncleared leaves block the drains and we've got spot flooding all over the place. And again, that can be a very dangerous driving circumstance. So we'll probably have at least one of those days as winter goes on.
Okay, so the message is the weather is changing and there are a number of hazards. Be careful.
Yeah, and without being dramatic, keep an eye on it, particularly in Munster. Five of the six counties of Munster are predicted to have a significant snowfall later on today. So if you're caught out on that, just be aware of it and safe on the roads.
Now, you want to talk about fuel prices. What's happening there?
They're going up again, unfortunately. And this is a latest survey from my old friends in the AA who track it monthly and always have done. And fuel prices had actually been falling. They were in a peak during the summer months where we were up around 180 per litre. They've fallen back steadily over the last few months. Now they're starting to creep up again. Looking at world oil prices, it's interesting. They didn't really react much to the Trump election result.
But the dollar did.
The dollar went up in value. And that pulls against us when you're buying fuel, because fuel is bought in dollars and we have to buy it in euros. So those are the factors that are probably nudging it up a bit. But it's an unfortunate trend line to see. We're now at 173 for petrol, 167 or so for diesel. And one thing, if that pattern sort of demonstrates, it does boost the relative value of electric cars. So swings and roundabouts. There was a drop in electricity prices just came in a couple of weeks ago. So if you're on the EV side of the ledger, it looks like this winter you'll be getting a relatively better deal.
And when we look at America, how little they pay for gasoline over there. I mean, they don't price it by the liter because they use this US kind of
gallons.
Imperial thing.
Yeah. Somebody said to me in Washington the other week, freedom units.
but I mean, they're paying as much for a gallon as we are paying for a litre, or less, in fact.
Yeah, there's 3.8 litres in a US gallon. So it's a slightly smaller one than a gallon we'd use over here. So the signs, slightly. But in effect, there's about, they would pay in euros about between maybe 80 to 84 cent per litre, euro cent per litre for their gasoline, of which maybe 10 cents or so is tax. Now, we're paying 167, of which, over half, depending on exactitude, but around about just short of 60%.
So tax-free, our gasoline prices wouldn't be that different to American.
No, tax-free. If
it's all tax.
If it was tax-free, we'd be paying around about 80 cent per litre. And everything that we do north of that is a choice by the Irish government. So when they say, oh, it's a pity oil prices have gone up, well, you know, you're gouging half the cash right off the top. And that's couched, of course, in being an environmental policy, a climate change policy, but it's a bloody expedient policy.
It's a funny thing. I mean, there are probably two counter-graphs running here.
Mm.
One says if we drop the price of fuel, which we could because we have money in the coffers.
Entirely so
could,
our choice. It's literal choice.
It.
Yeah.
But then the attraction of EVs goes down and we're supposed to be moving to EVs. But if we do move to EVs, they lose loads of revenue.
Yeah.
There's two graphs moving in contrary directions.
It is. And two policy objectives that are kind of clashing. We're not unique in Europe, by the way. We don't even have the most expensive fuel in Europe. A lot of European countries do the very same thing as us. So how do you square that circle? They're on this drug of getting revenue every year from the enormous tax on petrol and diesel, and they then have this policy imperative to move away from that stuff and encourage electric cars instead. They have to be far-sighted about it. I think we know the future we want to get to, and it does not involve fossil fuels. So I think we have to wean ourselves off that drug, and I think government should be investing some of the money in encouraging the pull towards EVs. They're not really supported enough in Ireland or in Europe generally, and they're therefore the uptake is just too anemic to meet any of the targets we've set.
Now, recently we heard about the Garda truck, you know, this cab that wanders around the place, tries to find whether you're wearing your seatbelt or you're using your mobile phone while driving. Then it radios forward to another Garda car, who then apprehend you for your bad behaviour.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether they video all of this so they have proof positive.
Yeah, they
anyway,
do.
There is also a Garda tractor.
There's a Garda tractor. And you know what? I like this. These are good examples of bits of creativity in what the Garda are doing. But if you're down in Clare or Tipperary, and careful today, it might snow, but if you're down there, you might see a fully Garda liveried farm tractor. It's a New Holland model, beautiful looking yoke, and it is a Garda tractor. And you think, what are they doing there? And they're using it to promote both road safety for farm vehicles on the road and farm safety. It's a really nice little initiative. I saw it online yesterday. It's very eye-catching. It looks like a Garda tractor. So caption competition begs, if you like. But I think it's a good example of the Garda being a little bit more creative and eye-catching in their road safety message. I mean, I want them to do a lot of primary enforcement, so if you speed, they catch you. But their visibility and initiatives like this, it's a light thing, but congratulations to them. It looks well.
And does it do a day's work as well, I wonder, on the side?
Well, it looks like...
In Temple Moor, you know, going up and down.
It looks like it could, but it'd be a shame to get it mucky. It's lovely and shiny at the moment and looking like a brand new Garda vehicle.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, thank you very much for joining us. Now, you've probably heard overnight that President-elect Donald Trump has picked Dr. Mehmet Oz to serve as the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a key federal agency that oversees health insurance coverage for more than 150 million Americans. Also, he would be looking after Obamacare, it seems, or what will be left of it when Trump has a go. And this Dr. Oz rose to fame as a frequent guest of Oprah Winfrey, eventually launching his own syndicated daytime TV talk show in 2009. Through the Dr. Oz Show, which won several daytime Emmy Awards and reached millions of viewers, Dr. Oz became one of the most well-known doctors in the United States. During the show's run from 2009 to 2021, Oz provided a platform for potentially dangerous products and fringe viewpoints aimed at millions of viewers. That's according to medical experts, public health organizations, and federal health guidance. Among the treatments that Dr. Oz promoted were HCG, Garcinia Cambogia, a herbal weight loss product the FDA says may cause liver damage, and selenium, which is a trace mineral needed for normal body functioning, and he says it's useful in cancer prevention. His views on COVID-19, however, sparked controversy. Early in the pandemic, for instance, Dr. Oz talked up the antimalarial drug hydroxychloroquine as a way to treat the coronavirus, despite the lack of firm evidence that it was an effective treatment. Many of Oz's perspectives were praised by Republicans at the time. CNN's Aaron Burnett reports on what Dr. Oz and Trump's other cabinet picks actually have in common.
My friend, Dr. Mehmet Oz, he's a great man. Dr. Oz, I've known him a long time. His show is great. He's on that screen. He's in the bedrooms of all those women telling them good and bad. And they love him.
Straight from Central Casting, Dr. Oz. And he's not the only one. Trump's stacking his administration with people that he believes look the part. He's already named Fox host Pete Hegseth for defense secretary, Fox host Sean Duffy for transportation secretary. And none of that is a surprise in this context, because Trump does put a premium on having what he sees as the look.
Oh, he's a handsome dude. Is that good? This guy's Central Casting. We'll take him. He is perfect. He's Central Casting. He's going to be a great one.
We have the great Tom Homan, Central Casting, right?
Central Casting, Central Casting, Central Casting. He says it himself. It's clear. Tom Homan, the last name he mentioned, is now Trump's border czar.
So there you go. All you have to have is the look, never mind competence, and you can join Trump's cabinet. And it's better again if you've been on television loads of times, which appears how Donald Trump spends much of his leisure time when he's not on the golf course.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.